This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise thee and thank thee that thou art our God. And blessed is the man, blessed is the nation, whose God is the Lord. We thank you for so great salvation that thou hast given us in Christ. Adore thee, we praise thee, we rejoice in thee, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none other. So we wait before thee that this word that thou hast given us will go forth in power, and in much assurance to each and every heart. And bless this radio audience, for it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. Him that he is. Don't you praise him? I praise the Lord for his deliverances, for his mercies, his grace that he has shown unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a precious Lord, a precious Savior and Redeemer, and I found him so. Oh, how my heart has gone out to him in these past days. To think upon his glory and upon his beauty. And upon all that he is in his person and what he's done for us. By his death, burial, and resurrection. As Ephesians 2 tells us, quickened together with him. Raised together with him. Seated together with him. Forever he is. Throughout eternity. What a wonderful Savior is he, because he delivers us, and I praise him for it. Dear friends, we say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We appreciate each and every one of you listeners, and the way you've been standing with us, helping support the ministry, both by gifts and by prayer. And we praise thee, and we praise the Lord, and thank you for it. Our book for the month that we're giving away is entitled Complete in Christ. A little booklet by C.H. Spurgeon. One that you'll want to have. It was a blessing to my soul. And I know that it will be a blessing to yours. Complete in Christ, taken from Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And ye are complete in him. And we are, and I praise the Lord for it. I want to put this little book in your hands. Complete in Christ by C.H. Spurgeon. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. We'll be happy to send it to you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We desire, by the grace of God and by the power of His Holy Spirit, to continue these messages that we have been delivering on the Word of God and sin, and especially pinpointing last message on the sin of pride. We have in our past messages brought before you from the Word of God the fact of sin, the result of sin upon Christ and man, the awful condition that man is in now because of his fall in Adam, and the need of a divine substitute, the one whom God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. In our last message, we began to pinpoint individual sins that keep men from Christ and gave to you the scriptural teaching for God's hatred of the sin of pride. Yes, dear friend, pride, because it is this sin that led to the downfall of Lucifer the archangel, who is called the Son of the Morning, who became Satan the Deceiver. It was the sin of pride that led to the downfall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and proved to be the undoing of the whole human race. In this pride, this sin of pride, in their pride, they desired to be like God and disobeyed Him and ate the forbidden fruit and therefore threw the whole world into chaos. Before going into our second message on the sin of pride, which God hates, because it robs Him of His glory, I would desire to preface our message with these words. The more I travel and meet people, the more I come in contact with different groups and individuals, the more I converse on a one-to-one basis with people I meet today, the more I'm aware of the need of the convicting and convincing power of God's Holy Spirit. The need that men and women, young people, boys and girls, should come to see themselves before God as guilty sinners. Yes, the need of this hour, more than any other, is the need of the power of God's Spirit in showing men that they stand before a sin-hating God as guilty sinners, lost sinners, undone sinners, helpless sinners, and that they are hopelessly lost without the power of the blood of Christ to save them by the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their lives. Yes, the need, the desperate need today, is the power of God's Spirit to work in us the knowledge of sin by God's holy law, to work in us the repentance that God requires, that is, to get on God's side against ourselves in sin, and to seek after the Lord, and to work in us that saving faith, the faith of God's elect, so we may lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ to believe in Him to the saving of our never-dying souls. Dear friend, I've said it before, and I quite across the ether waves across the nation today. If you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. And if you miss repentance, you miss saving faith. And if you miss saving faith, you miss Christ. And if you miss Christ, you miss heaven. And my dear friend, if you miss heaven, you're on the road to hell to pay for your sins in your own body and spirit and soul throughout eternity, forever and forever. Oh, that we would think and meditate upon these things. For without the knowledge of sin, then I have no need of a Savior. And without the awakening and convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, then no man will seek Christ and seek Him to the saving of his soul. Therefore, my dear friends, this is the reason I bring these messages upon sin. For I know what our need is, that we will never desire and seek after the Holy One who can help us unless we know that we stand as guilty sinners before God. Are you listening? In this second message on the sin of pride, I would desire to go into its characteristics, how it manifests itself, and then give you examples from the Word of God as to how it operates in men's hearts. One of the characteristics of this sin of pride is that it deceives the heart. We read in Obadiah 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" But the answer comes back from the Lord himself. In verse 4, "Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Yes, pride has deceived your heart into believing, my friend, that though you fly high now, having plenty, no need of anything or anyone, yet God will bring you down into judgment, for no man can put off forever his reckoning day with God. One day, every one of you under the sound of my voice will bow your knee to God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Also, my dear friend, you will either do this in mercy or you will do it in judgment. Remember, this pride of your heart will be broken, and you will seek after Christ as a poor, guilty, needy soul, laying low, laying down your arms of rebellion and hoisting the white flag of surrender and yielding all up to Christ as Lord. You will do this in time, for there is yet mercy, or you will do it at the great white throne judgment at the last day when there will be no mercy. Oh, I warn you today, dear friend, don't let the pride of your heart deceive you in thinking that you will not have to face God all alone, either in mercy or judgment, for God's Word says that you will, and God cannot lie. My friend, why don't you meet Him at the cross today, while yet there is mercy? Another characteristic of this sin of pride is that it keeps men from seeking God, as we read in Psalms 4:10-4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Yes, this sin of pride keeps you from seeking after God in his appointed substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are self-sufficient in yourself. You see, you have no need of another's righteousness. You don't see any need in another's righteousness because you are satisfied with the fig leaf covering of your own. You go about seeking to establish your own righteousness and have never submitted yourself to the righteousness of God. Therefore, being self-sufficient, self-satisfied, and self-righteous, you see no need of seeking Christ, not knowing what Revelation 3:17 says, that you are spiritually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Therefore, pride keeps you from seeking God and His righteousness in Christ and makes you say in your heart and by your deeds that you had rather be damned. Yes, that you'd rather be damned in hell than to admit your need of to seek after Christ and to seek help from above. Oh, what a damning sin pride is then, that a man would rather go to hell than to admit that he's a sinner, all wrong, and need help
from God. Oh, my dear friend, why not meet God in repentance now at the cross of Christ while there is yet mercy? Will you come to Him? Listen further. Another characteristic of the sin of pride is that it exhausted itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The natural heart of man, being a proud heart, lives upon its own stock and drinks in its own cistern, thereby exhausting itself against the knowledge of God as revealed in His holy word. It says like Pharaoh in Exodus 5:2, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? It says like Cain in Genesis 4, why should I bring a blood sacrifice for sin? I'm as good as anybody else. Oh, how many of you listening to me today fly back in the face of God with your hot, proud heart saying, why should I deny self and take up the cross and follow despised Christ? I have my prayers. I have my forms. I have my baptism. I do my penance. I don't need the blood of Christ to cleanse me. I'm getting along quite well, thank you. Need no help from God. But oh, my dear friends, God says you need the righteousness of Christ to get to heaven. Yet in your pride, you exalt yourself against this knowledge and say you will get to heaven by your own works. Oh, what a sin pride is then, that it blinds your depraved mind to the knowledge of God's requirements that you must have the righteousness of Christ to get to glory. Against God says you must repent of your sin and you cannot enter heaven. Therefore, you will die in your sins. Yet in your pride, you exalt yourself against this knowledge and say, God does not require me to repent, for I have done the best that I can. I've not hurt my neighbor, nor been morally unclean, or been a drunkard or a wife beater. I have nothing to repent of. I have been good all my life. I say, oh, what a sin pride is then. It blinds your depraved heart and mind to the need of repenting of your self-righteousness. And again, God says that unless you are born again by the Word and by His Spirit, you cannot see, much less enter into His kingdom, John 3:3-5. But in your pride, you exalt yourself against the knowledge of God by declaring that you are going to get into God's kingdom by your infant baptism, or by your decision, or by your church membership, or by your adult baptism, or by your lodge, or by keeping the golden rule. But I say again, dear friend, oh, the deceitfulness of your proud heart makes you believe that you are right and God is wrong, and that your knowledge is to be trusted rather than the knowledge of God as revealed in His precious word. You must be born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit working in you by His precious word. Listen to me again. I want you to hear God's word. No person or church, or denomination, or nation that exhausted itself against the knowledge of God will ever succeed. No, you shall be brought down. This nation of ours that exhausts itself in its wealth, in its resources, that exhausts itself in its learning and its accomplishments, that exhausts itself in its power and its democracy, shall come down in judgment unless there is a turning back to the knowledge of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, pride has blinded our leaders to God's holy requirements. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength and with all of our mind, and that we are to love our neighbors ourselves. Listen to me now. Pride has blinded the heart and eyes of our leaders, our lawmakers, our judges, our governors, our statesmen, that God requires righteousness, justice, and retribution, that is, punishment for sin. In their pride and exaltation against the knowledge of God, they object to the idea of justice and righteousness and retribution. And then they are surprised that there is lawlessness in our homes and in the schools and colleges and universities, and that there is lawlessness in the streets and in the different stratas of society. Oh, that our leaders would hear God's word that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, pride has blinded man's heart, and especially the leaders of this nation. They rely upon our army and our navy and our air force. And what happened over in Iran the other month? It all went to pot. God is showing up that in our pride, we have nothing. And what are we scared of? What are we scared of today? I hear men talking all the time that we have nobody to run this sophisticated arms that we have. What are we going to do? We're sitting ducks for everybody, and God has allowed this nation to be lifted up in its pride, and pride is going to bring it down. You mark my word, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin, pride, is a reproach to our people. High places, our leaders are blinded by pride to all of this. But not only our leaders are blinded, but every man in every walk of life hates discipline, hates justice, hates righteousness, and hates, most of all, God's retribution. A few years back, a man put a full-page ad in practically every major newspaper in the United States, deploring the condition that we were in then, and this was about 10 or 15 years ago. And it shows what we needed. We need to come back to the old Puritans. We need to come back to righteousness and glory and honor. But he wrote the whole article by saying, well, but we do not want that which led the Puritans to be Puritans. But brother, that which led the Puritans to be Puritans was the justice and righteousness and retribution. Justice and righteousness and retribution. And my friend, without righteousness and justice and retribution, man is going to be brought down. This to me is a tragedy of modern man. You have in your pride exalted yourself above the knowledge of God and departed from the basic principles of equity and truth, and therefore in a state of confusion. And what makes it worse is that in your pride you object to the one thing that will make it all right again, and that is bowing to the authority of God's word and listening to God's voice from his word, when he tells you to humble yourselves before him and seek his face in righteousness. Does he not tell us in his word that he giveth grace to the humble but resisteth the proud? Does he not say that he will hear the cry of the humble but will have nothing to do with the proud but punish them? Then is it not the height of foolishness to stand out against him in your pride of learning, your pride of wisdom, your pride of self-righteousness, when your inn is nothing but the lake of fire? Would it not be better, 10,000 times better, to admit that you are a fool, that you've been acting like a fool, and to take your place before God as a poor sinner, and nothing at all, instead of trying to bring it out before the God of the universe, against whom you cannot win? Oh, let me expostulate with you for a moment, dear friend. Would it not be the height of wisdom, godly wisdom, to lay down the arms of your rebellion and admit that you are wrong? Would it not be the height of godly wisdom for the nation to admit that their laws, that they're handling the laws of God wrong and the laws of this nation? Would it not be better godly wisdom for our judges and our men in authority to admit that they have failed because they have thrown at God's holy law in his face and said that capital punishment is not for us today? We've got away from all of this. They have cuddled and played to the thief and the murderer and the rapist, and cuddled them and made our jails places where men can go and look at their televisions and have telephones and all of this sort of thing, and they're not punished for their sins. Come back to basics. Come back to basics and admit that our promiscuous society is wrong. Our promiscuousness with our children, with our families, with the children in the schoolroom, promiscuous with the prisoners at the bar of justice, and deal honestly with justice and righteousness and retribution, and put the laws into effect. My friend, you cannot deal with a man except with the law of God. You cannot deal with a man under grace until you have dealt with him under law. And that's what's wrong with our nation today, and what's wrong with our churches, and what's wrong with the ministry. The law of God is not preached. And men do not stand in awe of God and fear of God. And I cry for our nation to come back, and our churches and our preachers to come back to God's Word, back to justice and righteousness and retribution. Well, I say from God's Word that this is the height of godly wisdom, and it is not the folly. Your pride and to continually exalt yourself in the knowledge, your knowledge against God, but to bow at His feet crying for mercy, saying, O Lord, wilt Thou look upon me as Thou dost look upon the mercy seat, and remember that I am dust and I need You. Oh, I need You. I have no wisdom at all. But, oh Lord, I need You. Thou canst become my wisdom. Make Christ my wisdom. I come to Thee, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. I need You. I bow down at Your feet. Convince me of my need of You. Deliver me, O Lord, is my cry. Oh, my soul has cried unto God for this message, that I'd be able to preach it in love, but yet with positiveness. We need to come back to these basics of justice, righteousness, and retribution. And get back to basics of the law of God. Crying unto God to work in our hearts by His law. But I know what this will take. It'll take discipline. We don't love it, but oh, this is where the power of God comes in to convince us of our need and do away with our proud hearts and to break Him at His feet. Oh, that we would seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near and plead His blood. Only the blood of Christ. Only the righteousness of Christ. Only the power of God's Spirit with the Word in His hand can do us any good in the days in which we're living now. My friend, you've listened. You want a copy of this message, you write, and we'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.